Good evening. We do welcome you to this time of worship. As you become here and now are part of the family at Main Street, we're so happy to have you. For those of you that have journeyed in with your families, and this is a special time together, we are so happy that God has given you safe journeys. And those of you who are visiting with us tonight to have a wonderful place to worship, we welcome you as well. And our extended family and all of us together, it's going to be a wonderful night of worship. And I would remind you that if you have brought blankets that we received during this season to give out during the year to those who are in need of them, please bring them up during the communion time and you can place them here. Also, if you would like to make a charitable donation to one of the helping agencies, we have offering plates here. Some of that will be used in the Ministerial Discretion Fund and in other areas where we use it in the community. So if you'd like to make an offering tonight, the offering plates are here on either side. During the communion time, we will have two stations, and so you will come down to the center aisle and then disperse this way. If there's some of you who cannot come forward, if you will notify the ushers, we will gladly serve you in your pew. Welcome to Wesley, and may God bless us as we worship together. Welcome to Main Street. Wesley was my former church. Let us stand together for our call to worship. And while you're standing, I would remind you that we will have worship service in the morning here at 10:30. Tonight, old dreams die and new dreams come alive. The promise is fulfilled. Hope gives way to joy and prayer to proclamation. Our candles illuminate our story. Dawn invades midnight. The light of the world has come. And this light is a light for all, igniting a flame in the soul, warming us from within, radiating love, lighting our lives with the presence of God come alive in human flesh within us and among us now and always. Number 234, O Come All Ye Faithful. Thank you. to confession is printed in your bulletin. Out of the darkness of our world, we have seen a great light. The birth of the Christ child calls us to something special. Let our confession be our new beginning. Light of the world, he gave us the transforming birth of the child Jesus as a light for our path. Yet we confess that we shut our eyes to the light. We admit that we do not want to see the gift you have given us. We acknowledge our reluctance to see and share our gifts with our sisters and brothers. We're often dazzled by the glitter and tinsel the world has made of Christ's birth. We ask that your Spirit be lit within us, that the light of peace and justice may shine through us. We seek to receive, to share the gift of Christ's birth and death again and again. God comes to us now in this busy season to make all things new. God makes room for us even when there is no room at the inn. Where we are too busy, God brings peace. Where we are lost, salvation. Where we are sad, joy. Where we are bitter, God gives us courage to love again. Rejoice. Christ has come to us, bringing us all these gifts of God. In Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. You may be seated.
We light the Advent wreath again tonight as we remember. The first Advent candle is one of hope, and we begin the wait. This candle reminds us that the prophet Isaiah was longing for God's presence too. It reminds us that the people in the early church were also longing for God's presence. This candle is a symbol for our own longing for God to be with us. We wait in hope for God to surprise us and break into our lives. The second candle is one of peace and reminds us of our dreams for peace in the world and that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is coming. This candle is a symbol of God's promise of peace, comfort, and strength. The third candle is for joy and to remind us that God wants us to rejoice even when that feels hard to do. This candle is a symbol of the joy that comes when God is with us. The fourth candle is one of love, and the circle is complete. It is a love that has no ending, that lives on in young and old, not just at Christmas, but throughout the year. Our time of waiting is almost over. May we as people of God proclaim God's greatness. May we see God in those who are weak, humble, poor, hungry, who come to God empty-handed and expect to be fed. May we pray for the light of the world to shine into our lives and then through our lives into the darkness of the world. May the Word indeed become flesh and dwell among us. Thank you.
Our first reading of the Gospel this evening is found in the Gospel according to Luke. Begin reading with the first verse of the second chapter. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph, who went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Word of God for the people of God.
I have trouble.
continued reading of the gospel lesson is found in the gospel according to Luke, the 8th verse of the 2nd chapter. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Word of God for the people of God.
Oh,
Today I was thinking about all those wonderful Christmas seasons of bygone time. Thinking of those maybe that were more precious, at least if not more precious, more memorial than others, those that I remembered. I can remember those times when Mom and Dad said, not going to be a whole lot for Christmas this year, because maybe Mom had been laid back, as they said, at the sewing factory. Maybe the offerings hadn't been real good at church for Dad, who was a preacher. Remind me of the story told of Pastor Tony. He was going down the street and he saw little Johnny trying to reach up and punch the doorbell. Just couldn't quite reach it. Pastor Tony decided he would help little Johnny, and he slipped up behind him and he reached up and he punched the doorbell and he got down on the level with little Johnny and he said, "Now what do we do, Johnny?" And he said, "We run." Sometimes those things that we remember are those things that occur outside of what we had really planned for. But as I think about this Christmas season and those Christmases of bygone times, I, like you, I love this season. I love the excitement and the plans that family has to come together and travel for miles and making all those preparations, all the pageantry, the Christmas parade, the songs. I'll admit I don't enjoy them too much before Thanksgiving, but after Thanksgiving I enjoy finding the Christmas songs on the radio, the parties. You know, Sunday school class parties, family get-together, office parties. And some of you are so gracious to invite us, and we participate. And like the rest of you, we put on a few extra pounds. And those sweaters that you'll wear tomorrow for the last time till this time next year, and those ties that come out of the closet or cedar chest with the little flashing lights if the batteries haven't eaten a hole in the backside as they deteriorated during the year. All the excitement that this season brings and the anticipation. And as we mentioned tonight, and as you see hanging here our beautiful Advent banners, and there's a message of peace and joy and love and hope. Those wonderful messages that bring such quality to our world and such quality into our lives. And as I enjoy the excitement of this season and I come to this time, and I ask myself the question again, have I heard the Christmas message in my heart for myself? Had I been alive on that first Christmas, would I have heard the message that the shepherds heard? It haunts me because the reality is probably that I would not. Would I have missed those choirs of angels as they sang in the heavens? Would I have only thought I was listening to barnyard animals or other racketry within my world? Would I have seen that star that shined that night? or when maybe I've only seen two poor, frightened young people trying to find a place for her to have her child? Would I have understood and heard that night in that cold wind, maybe that blew? Would I have experienced the message that God was with us? Would that cosmic event taking place in the heavens have passed me by? I ask the question many times. When you have seen an event and you read about it in the newspaper or you hear about it on TV, how many times is what you saw and what you hear or what you read the same story? When I think about those many times completely different stories, I'm convinced that there were those there in Bethlehem that night that missed it all. They didn't hear the angels. They didn't see the star. As I mentioned a while ago, I'm a preacher's kid, and I have seen God move, I think, at various times in the church and in the lives of people in the church. But God never seems to move in exactly the same way each time. Our hearts have to be open to a freshness of the way that God would move. And sometimes in the experiences of what we have, some people will say it's a miracle. And others will say it's a coincidence. Of all those people in and around Bethlehem on that night, were they aware? Few people saw and heard and understood what took place that night. Those poor shepherds. Those poor social outcast people. Those nobodies in the social structure. They heard it. And the Magi, as they arrived sometime along the way, they too, those pagan wise men, as we call them, they saw it. Where does that leave me? Where does that leave me and you today? Do we hear it? Do we see it? There was a bright star in the sky, but only certain pagan astrologers from the east. What about that young couple who were expecting a child? Would I have been too preoccupied with my own problems and my own stuff to have stopped and offered them any assistance? I am aware of what is seen or heard by us in life. And I realize that what I see and what I hear has more to do with what's inside of me than what's taking place around me. And so I ask myself, here in 2011, have I heard the Christmas message? In all of the needs of the world, has this message made me more cynical or more compassionate? We'll share with you a story that Norman Vincent Peale shared. He writes, "It was Christmas Eve, the one night in the year when 7-year-old Bobby was in a hurry to go to bed. His stockings were tacked to the mantel, and the beautiful tree stood in the corner. He kissed his mother and father goodnight, and then he raced upstairs and leapt into bed. It seemed to Bobby that he hadn't been asleep any time when a harsh voice sounded and said, 'Get up!' He opened his eyes and blinking in the bright sunlight, and then he remembered what day it was. With a joyful shout, he hurried into his clothes and bounded down the stairs, and on the bottom of the step, he stopped. No stocking hung from the mantel. The Christmas tree was gone too. 'But,' he said, 'but I put that angel on myself,' Bobby began, when he heard the shrill whistle from the factory that made him jump. 'The factory can't be open on Christmas,' Bobby thought, as he put on his coat and ran out of the house. The gateman at the factory was his friend. He would tell Bobby why. 'Clear out of here, you.' The gateman jerked his thumb at him. 'No kids allowed.' As Bobby slowly turned to go, he saw to his amazement that up and down the street, all the stores were open. 'Why are they open on Christmas?' he asked a woman coming out of the supermarket. 'Christmas?' the woman asked. 'What is that?' 'The hardware store, the bakery, the 5 and 10, everywhere it was the same. People were busy. They were cross. They had never heard of Christmas.' 'I know one place where they've heard of Christmas,' Bobby cried. 'At my church. There's a special service there this morning.' He started to run, and here was the street. At least, he thought it was. But there was only a weed-grown vacant lot. The tower with the bells. The Sunday school window where Bobby had pasted snowflakes. There was nothing here. Just then, from the tall grass near the side of the road, Bobby heard a moan. A man was lying on the ground. 'A car struck me,' he gasped. 'Never even stopped.' 'Help,' called Bobby to a lady walking past. 'This man is hurt.' The lady jerked Bobby away. 'Don't touch him. He doesn't live here. We don't know anything about him.' 'I'll run to the hospital, mister,' Bobby promised. 'They will send an ambulance,' and he tore off down the street. Hospital of the Good Samaritan. Bobby had often read the name over the archway of the great stone wall. But now the stone wall ran around an empty field. Where the name of the hospital had been was carved instead, 'If he had only come.' Suddenly, Bobby was running home as if life depended on it. Last night, his father had read from the Bible, and maybe the Bible will tell him why everything was changed. The Bible was still lying on the table in the living room, and Bobby snatched it up and ran upstairs to his room. But where the New Testament should have started, there was only blank pages. There was no Christmas story, no Jesus at all. And Bobby flung himself on his bed and he began to cry. Then he heard the voice, "Merry Christmas, Bobby." It was his mother's voice from downstairs. "Aren't you getting up on Christmas morning?" And Bobby sprang out of bed and ran to the window, and there was a Christmas wreath on the house across the street. And suddenly the bells from the church tower began to ring, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." "Here I come, Mother," Bobby called. But he paused at the door and shut his eyes. "You came," he whispered. "Thank you for coming." Norman Vincent Peale says, "And this is our prayer to the Lord Jesus this Christmas day. Thank you for coming. And this is the message of Christmas that we hear, is that Christ came." Amen. I invite you to join with me in the sacrament of Holy Communion as found in your bulletin. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. God of light, in whom there is no shadow, your gifts to us are from the very beginning of time. They continued with our ancient ancestors like Noah, whom you bless with a colorful promise of the rainbow. In the desert you gave gifts of manna and of living water to the weary pilgrims, whom you led by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. At last you sent your light into the world in the world. As your word became flesh, born of woman on that night long ago, so on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts, that in the breaking of this bread and the drinking of this wine, we may know the presence of the living Christ and be renewed as a body of Christ for the world, redeemed by Christ's blood, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at your table forever. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. I would remind you that if you are here and you are not a member of this congregation, you are more than invited to come and to receive communion. As John Wesley said, if your heart is as my heart, give me your hand. We as Wesleyans participate in this meal as a means of grace, where we acknowledge that none of us are worthy by our own actions to receive this meal, but we are made worthy because of the blood of Jesus Christ, who cleanses us all from our sins. I invite those who are going to be assisting me to meet me at the chancel rail.
Is there anyone that has not been served that wishes to be served? One more. We got one more back there. I invite you now in the spirit of meditation, as the room is now darkened, as the darkness of the night consumes the light, it reminds us that we live in a world with much darkness. Homeless in our city streets, and those in the world who are hungry tonight. The forgotten poor and elderly, and those who are dying, those who are grieving, those who are victims of violence in the home, particularly innocent children. The victims of violence from gangs, robbery, war in our own streets and in the world. Those today who are serving in Iraq and the Middle East, Afghanistan. If you like, you may mention some of those names of those that are serving, if you'd like, at this moment, in honor of them, by just calling out their names. Those who are held hostage by addictions and mental illness. Those who are suffering from debilitating and incurable illnesses. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, will have the light of life." The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Thanks be to God, who gives us the light in Jesus Christ, our Savior. As you light your candle, I invite and remind you to light it and tilt it, the unlit candle to the lighted candle. This dark world, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bearing the good news of Christmas, Christ came into the world to save sinners. For Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen. Merry Christmas.